I'm online. Okay.
All right, back on the air here with Mr. Kasim Sultan. Hey, Kasim, how you doing?
I'm good. Rich, you got to turn up the mic again, though.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So during the break there, we just heard a couple some more songs from your CD, Quid Pro Quo, right?
Right.
We heard Sacrifice and Before She Was Gone, tracks 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And we took a ton of instant messages. So let me just get to a couple of those, and then I have a couple questions myself. But
okay.
Rebecca from Cleveland says, it's so great to hear We the People, and you have a great new website. We love it. She would like to know when the DVD of your solo show will be released.
Okay, well, I'm definitely going to be filming the solo gig on Saturday. And barring any any kind of delays as far as editing and mixing the audio, it should be available by I would say June the latest.
Okay. All right. We're bouncing around a little bit, but more new product. A question: Jules and Terry are looking forward to your new CD. Any word about that? And Bully was the best. It was great to hear that performed for the first time.
Yeah, that song Bully is from a band called Sugar Bomb that Doug Kennedy turned me on to. And I just really liked their album. I thought it was really cool. And was looking for a new song. I was actually getting tired of playing the same three songs night after night after night for the Meatloaf openings. So I said, you know what, I'm going to try a new song. I tried it. It seemed to work. After I did it the first couple of three times, I settled into it, and now I'm probably going to do it on Saturday night as well.
Is that something that you might put on your upcoming record?
No, absolutely not. No, I'm going to try. What I'm trying to do is basically what the Beatles did when they first released the record. They had, I think, probably a little less than half of that Meet the Beatles record was covers, and then as they progressed, you heard less and less covers, and so. I'm hoping, I think on my last record I did about four cover tunes, and maybe I'm going to knock it down to two on this next one.
Okay, yeah, Reese saying woohoo there for that. She was just responding. And as a perfect segue, Stephanie R. 29 says, this week marks the 40th anniversary of the Beatles coming to America.
Yeah, so it was tonight that they played the Ed Sullivan Show.
Amazing. She says she knows that the Beatles had a big impact on your life, and she was wondering if you ever met George. She had heard that you had met Paul, John, and Ringo.
I actually, when I was in England in December, a very, very good friend of mine passed away. Michael Kamen passed away from multiple sclerosis. Michael was responsible for getting me into Utopia, kind of indirectly, but he told me about the audition, and that's how I wound up in the band. and there was a memorial service for him in London. I happened to be there at the time, and I went to the memorial service, and George was one of his closest friends.
Mm.
And I went in, I sat down, and Annie Lennox was there, and she sang a song, and Brian Adams was there, he sang a song, Dave Gilmore sang a song, and there was a guy, there was this kid, young kid, sitting over in the corner, and he looked like really, really familiar. Turned out it was, he looked exactly like a Beatle in his 20s. Turned out to be George's son, and I really didn't want to bother him at a function like that and go up and introduce myself, but I did say hello to George's wife, and she was extremely nice, very, very nice lady. So I never met George. I would have loved to have met George, but I met his wife.
And it's true that you met the other three members of the Beatles.
Yeah.
Okay, getting back to Kay Quinn before, who was asking, let's see what she was asking you about earlier. She was asking you about, she was from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one that said, hi, sweetie, and she was listening, but she said she has an equipment question, but just kidding, so I thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. she wants to know about the song Remember, and why did you record it? She loves it.
I'm a big Harry Nilsson fan, and that's, I think Harry Nilsson is one of the great American songwriters. American pop songwriters, and had to do a Harry Nilsson song, and that just seemed to fit what I was doing on that particular record.
Chris before said, Kazem, you must be thinking of Christine from Dublin. She is from North Ireland.
Oh, okay. Well, I apologize then.
Yep. It's but this is fun. This is like doing the chat, except we have real voices and real interpreters.
Yeah.
So this is fun tonight. Let me ask a couple of my questions.
Sure.
What was it like being part of one of the best-selling records of all time, Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell, and did you know at the time it was going to be that big?
What was it like being a part? Well, no one ever knew when we were making that record that it was going to do as well as it did. I mean, there was no way to have any kind of crystal ball in terms of, you know, was this record going to be big or was it going to be a flop? You know, it was only until after the fact that years and years later that we found out that it was like, you know, I think they were up to like 36 million copies sold or something like that. I'm bittersweet about it, you know. On one hand, I mean, it's a big feather in everybody's cap whoever was on that record that you can say that, yeah, one of the biggest selling records of all times. So I'm playing on, my name is on it.
Right.
And on the other hand, you know, I only made a pittance for playing on that record.
Right.
And so, you know, it's
like the actors. You didn't really have any points on the project.
Yeah, exactly. But if, you know, then if you're an actor and it gets sold into syndication, you know, you get paid.
Yeah.
But there's no syndication rights in the music business.
Well, that record, Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell, was kind of like Utopia meets the E Street Band. What was it like working with E Streeters Max Weinberg and Roy Bittan?
Well, Roy, I'm a huge fan of Roy's. I think Roy is one of the most amazing musicians around, and he's just he was perfect for that record. He just like Todd was, you know. They knew exactly what Jim wanted and how to translate Jim's ideas into music, and it just worked out perfectly. It was a real good experience. It was one of the first records that I had ever played on, really.
Ray Gunwire wants to know where you can where he can buy the CD. You can go to KazemSultan.com, and is your CD available on CD Baby as well?
No, it is not.
Okay, so it's KazemSultan.com, and you can order it directly from there, right, Kazem?
There are a couple of places. It's KazemSultan.com, or you can order it from the record company, SphereSound.com, or you can also get it at ShopSource1.com, which is they're running a contest, too. That if you buy a record and it has a magic pass in it, you can come backstage to a show that I'm playing at.
Right. Rock and Roll Buck says, by the way, Kazem's name is in the credits for Bat more than Meat's own name.
Yes, it is. My name is on that record, I think, like 12 times or something like that.
So how is touring and performing with Meatloaf different than your experience on the road with Todd Rundgren in Utopia?
Well, I mean, just the simple fact in the scope and scale of the gigs, Utopia never. There was only a real short period where we did big venues and arenas, but for the most part, we were in theaters and larger clubs. Meat is more in the you know, the 10,000 to 15,000 seat arenas every night, multiple nights in the same place too. And most of his audience is abroad, whereas most of Utopia's audience was here in this country. So it's different in that respect. And then the music is just, you know, totally different from one another.
How about the companionship and the type of activities you guys do on the road? Do you guys hang together?
No, I can't stand anybody. I stay by myself. I hate everybody. So I usually I stay in my room and write, and nobody sees me until it's time to go to sound check or take a plane the next day.
No, I bet you don't hate everybody, Kazem.
No, of course I'm just saying that.
You like Kwebak.com, I know that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So well, look, Todd Rundgren is known to be experimental and a bit unpredictable. Sometimes recording albums live, sometimes using multiple studio techniques. I know you're going out on the road in the spring for to perform with him.
Yeah.
To help him out with the new Liars record. Uh-huh. Release. What type of heads up will you get in advance from Todd? Like, will he tell you that there's going to be a bunch of rarities to get you prepared, or will you all just take care of that in the rehearsals? And like, will he pull some stuff out of the hat and surprise you? Will he tell you to prep for certain stuff?
Well, actually, we just had a conference call earlier this afternoon. The whole band that's going to be out with him starting in April, so. Todd kind of went over exactly what's expected of us and what songs we're going to be doing, roughly what songs we were going to be doing and what the stage was going to be like. He's going to be doing some stuff that's never been tried before live in terms of stage setup and lighting. I really don't want to get into anything other than it's going to be a one-of-a-kind tour.
Mm-hmm.
And his new record is really, really cool.
Good.
He's going to be doing a lot of songs from that, and a lot of older, well, just as many older songs as he usually does. And we start in April. We're starting April 2nd or 3rd. I think we start rehearsals, and then our first show is in Milwaukee on the 8th of April.
And how long are you planning on going out on that one with Todd?
Right now, it's scheduled to go from April 8th to June 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Good. You're a busy man.
Yeah, I am.
Well,
right now I am, anyway.
Well, we're hoping to be able to come down and maybe cover one of those Todd shows and get a review online, so that'll be...
Oh, you got it. Please, be my guest.
Okay, thanks. Looking forward to doing that. Now, that was my questions. Let me just finish up with the last couple of emails. Stephanie R29 also says that she is a big record collector. She collects albums that Todd has produced and or played on. I also collect albums that... Hold on, I got another email. She also collects albums that Chasm has played on.
Uh-huh.
He played on an album, 1980, called Zoot Money. I never knew that he played on this album. I found out about it through an internet search. I was wondering if he could tell a little bit more about that record and group, because she had never heard of them.
Zoot Money was the guy, you know, I don't remember too much about it. I do know that he had something to do with Paul McCartney at one point or another. It was, you know, it was produced by a guy named Jim Diamond, who I met through Earl Slick. I was in England at the time, and I think Utopia was over there for an extended period doing some shows, and they just called me up and asked me to come in studio and play on a few tracks, and he was a really nice guy. Don't know whatever happened with it, if it's available, if it's around today, or if it's in print or not. But, you know, it was really one of the more obscure projects that I had done over the years.
Okay, Busby 2 wants to know if you'll be doing any Utopia songs on the Todd tour.
Probably at least one or two.
Okay, and then... We have one final IM, I believe, Chasm, and that is Chasm supports Cancer for Kids. Cancer for Kids. This
no,
person has
kids against cancer. Don't want kids to have cancer.
Right. Okay. Well, I think she just meant that you're supportive of,
right,
of
right,
the
right.
cause.
Yeah.
It's all in how you phrase it.
Yeah.
She has a friend whose little girl has spinal cancer and has been in the hospital for 6 months, not doing well. She wants to know. What support groups can she contact?
Well, there's a couple, actually. There's a group out of Long Island that contacted me not too long ago about a benefit that they wanted to put together, but unfortunately, I just because of time constraints, I can't be involved in it. I'm not exactly sure what the group of that name, what their name is, but if she contacts a Laura Source at Kids Against Cancer, I'm sure that Laura can help her find out anything that she might that she would know about other groups and other support groups that her daughter might be able to join.
Okay. Kay Quinn wants to know, is Meatloaf coming back to the U.S.?
Right now, there are plans, but nothing definite.
Okay, and Busby just said that previous question came from Kathy J.
Okay.
Okay, so,
okay.
Well, Chasm, I think we covered just about everything.
Right.
I think All right, you know, I'll let you get back to your busy schedule.
Thank you very, very much. It was a pleasure for me to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, same here. Thank you very much. And we will be playing your music a lot here on Quebec Radio and Rockland World Radio, and I'll follow up with you in the next couple of days.
Okay, great,
and
Rich.
We're going to leave. We're going to say goodbye right now, and I'm going to play goodbye from the Quid Pro Quo CD.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
All right, see you, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Kazem Sultan, this is goodbye from the record, and we'll see you later, Kazem.
Okay.